Okay. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word as we pray. God of word and wisdom, the risen Christ opened the minds of his friends to understand the scriptures. Send us your Holy Spirit to open our minds to receive your truth and love, which can fill our hearts and change our lives. Our scripture reading in Psalms today is from Psalm 4, and it is found on page 845, if you care to follow along that way. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine brown. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me well and safe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I love the end of that. We'll lie down and sleep in peace for you, O Lord. Well, good morning. Good morning. We are on the third Sunday of Easter. So I don't know if you caught in our call to worship, there was a reference to Easter. We're going to keep reminding us. This is Easter. We celebrate Easter for all the way through Pentecost. We don't just believe in one day of celebration, we believe in many days of celebration, not only because it's the best news that we will ever hear, that Christ has risen from the dead and defeated death, but because it is important. I believe our God is a celebrating God. And so we are invited to join God in the celebrating and to join God in this process together. Last week we kicked off a sermon series as kind of going through the lectionary. So we're going to be doing 1 John together for the next 7 or 8 weeks. And if you are unfamiliar with 1 John, it's toward the end of the New Testament. It's a very, very small book. So if you want to just familiarize yourself with what we're going to be processing together, you can really easily just read through the book of 1 John and just continue on to 2 and 3 John. But 1 John is dedicated to identifying and naming the traits and the characteristics of those who spend time in close fellowship, or the word in the Greek is koinonia, with God. 1 John calls them those koinonia believers, so we're going to use that word a lot, and I love that koinonia is a very familiar term for this congregation, as you have your monthly publication called the Koinonia. So it's good for us to dive a little bit deeper into what that looks like. Followers, koinonia believers, are marked by their desire to be in the light, which is why we have light. And then they are also people who are known by their ability to love deeply and love others well. So those are two really big themes in the book of 1 John. So let's read the passage for today. We're going to be reading 1 John 3, 1 through 7. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But if you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes it's not easy to say thanks be to God when you read a passage like this, right? It's a little tricky. Well, I am just now beginning to emerge from the Disney movie season of life. For those who are unfamiliar with what that season of life is, it is the stage in life where the only movies that you ever watch are Disney movies. So for about 10 years' time, and in my family, because Ainsley was kind of a surprise package, it's more like 15 years of life that we have this Disney movie season where anything from Disney, DreamWorks, some claymation are a little inappropriate. All of those movies are the movies that we watch on a regular basis. So don't ask me about movies that are not kid movies because I probably haven't seen them. When we moved to Oregon about 9 years ago, we only knew a really small handful of people. And so our social calendar was rather empty. And we were sad about that. We really missed, especially on the weekends, connecting and hanging out with our California community that we had such a great community there. So we started this tradition where every Friday night when the kids, they'd get home from school, we would finish work, and we would order a pizza, and we would watch a movie together, a Disney movie, a claymation movie, DreamWorks, whatever, whatever was the one for the week. And we cleverly called it pizza and movie night. If you have any creative needs, you can come to the Dixon family. We're really good at naming things. But despite the fact that we now actually do know some people and we do have a social calendar, we still keep that tradition. So every Friday night, the Dixon family gathers and we order our pizza. Now we have to order a gluten-free pizza for my daughter. And so we have a lot of pizza, gluten-free pizza, normal-sized pizza, and we gather because it's become this rhythm in our home, a rhythm where we can slow down together, almost like the kickoff of Sabbath, and we can begin to settle into the weekend as a family, kind of just cuddling together on the couch, having time to reconnect after a very fast-paced weekend. So the downside to this rhythm, especially when it lasts 15 years, is that you really start getting to the bottom of the barrel on good Disney movies and good kid movies after, I don't know, maybe even less than a year. So it gets a little tricky trying to find a good family-friendly movie. But one of the movies that we really have grown to love and have watched multiple times, because that's what we start doing is we repeat, we watched it both in the cartoon version as well as the newer, the computer animated version. Has anybody seen any of those new Disney movies that are now computer animated? They're really cool. It's The Lion King. So they recently, I think it was 2019, they came out with the computer animated. So we've seen that movie a lot of times. And if you are unfamiliar with The Lion King storyline, it's a story of a young lion cub who is heir to the throne, but flees because his father, the king, is killed, and he believes that he's the reason that his father is killed. So the cub runs away, finds a new home, new friends, new community, but eventually he gets reconnected with his old friends. And through that reconnection, he learns the truth of what happened to his father, and he learns the truth about who he is. So there is this powerful scene where he is found by one of the old friends, Rafiki, which means friend or companion. I love Rafiki, he's my favorite one in the movie. And this Rafiki is a baboon, and he is the same baboon who only a few years earlier baptized Simba, this cub, who is now kind of a teenage age person. Animal, not person. Excuse me on that one. He was the one who baptized him and then presented him to the waiting animal kingdom as the future heir to the throne. So I'm going to show you a clip from the movie, and it's this interaction where Rafiki is reminding him who he is. So hopefully it works.
You know my father?
Correction, I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again.
He's alive. And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on. Hurry up!
Whoa, wait. Come on!
Would you slow down?
Stop!
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look. You see, he lives in you.
Forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son, and the one true king.
No, please, don't leave me. Father, don't leave me.
What was that? The weather. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm gonna take your stick.
No! Not a stick! Hey! Where are you going?
I'm going back!
Good! Go on! Get out of here!
Well, okay, because I'm still in this Disney movie season of life, I cannot promise that I won't be showing you or sharing some other Disney illustration, and I'm sorry that I'm not sorry about that. So, though that phrase, remember who you are. Remember who you are. That was the nudge that Simba needed to return to the life, the identity, the calling that he was born into. I have loved that scene for so many years, and that phrase, it was so funny because I named the sermon Remember Who You Are before I decided that I was actually going to use this clip, because those are soul words. Those are the words that help anchor us to who we are and whose we are. Are we okay? Oh, a spider. Okay. So, just making sure everybody's healthy and happy. So similarly, as we enter into this 1 John passage, the writer of 1 John is doing exactly this. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. This phrase, this little passage that we have together is the nudge that the people of God needed to be reminded of the calling that they were made for, the life that they were built for. So by way of reminder, a little bit back to 1 John, a little bit about 1 John. It was written to address the rising conflicts in the church, in the early church. There were dissenters who were trying to lead the faithful followers of God away from some of the non-negotiables. Most importantly, the non-negotiable of believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So 1 John was written to address that conflict and to remind the believers of who they are. So the elder, the author of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, really it's only identified in 2nd and 3rd John, is called the elder. So I'm going to refer to the writer as the elder. Opens this passage by saying, remember who you are, and this is who they are. This entire 7 verses gives us a reminder of who they are. First off, he reminds them that they are loved. That very opening verse, he says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. This question, see what great love, this question in the Greek uses the word potapen, which literally means from what country. So let's put it in the Greek in kind of our own terms, using that Greek definition. It would say something like this. From what strange land or what foreign country does a love like this come? Where would a love like this come from? The answer is God's country. This kind of love is beyond what we can grasp with our finite minds. It is beyond what we can even imagine. When we first moved to Oregon, people kept referring to Oregon as God's country. But I'm going to venture a guess that the country that this love of God comes from is even better than Oregon. I hope so. God's country. It is even more unimaginable. Hard to believe, I know. We are rooted and established in love. This verse kicks off, this entire identity passage kicks off with reminding us that first and foremost, we are loved. What great love. What kind of country would a love like this come from? Because we can't even fathom it. The Garden of Eden was God's gift of love to us. God has been rooting and establishing us in love from the beginning of time, starting with the Garden of Eden. It was a place where the humans could talk and walk and be with the living God, because God loved their creation and wanted to be with them. God called them good. God established the tabernacle and the temple, and then sent Jesus, the living tabernacle, the living temple, so that they could dwell with their creation, living with us, Emmanuel, together, not light years apart. The cross was endured because of love. Death was defeated so that love would have the last word. We came from love. God adopted us because of love. What great love the Father has lavished on us. Remember who you are. Love has always been the starting place. We cannot forget that. I met a visitor on Easter Sunday, and we had a brief conversation, and I just kept saying, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved. And who's a brand new Christian, and that is the most important, best message that we can. If you leave today and you forget everything else, you'll probably remember the Lion King movies, which is like that. But remember that who we are is that we are loved. That's the starting place. The second thing that the writer of 1 John, this elder, makes really clear is that we were made for community. We were made in the image of a triune God. The subject, if you notice as we go through this passage, the subject is always in the plural. So I'll give you a few examples. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. It's not you, it's us. That we should be called children, not child, of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. It goes on and on and on. Even when it says the word you in verse 5, it's plural in the Greek. So our English translation does not usually transfer over well, but you is actually probably would have better been translated in Texas. Y'all, it's a plural you. So, but y'all know that he appeared is really what it should say. This letter is addressed to community because we were made in the image of a triune God, and our faith is best carried out in the context community. Now, we've done a really bad job of that in the American church, haven't we? A lot of the songs we sing use I only. A lot of the ways that we talk about our devotional life is only about me. But we have been built for community, made in the image of a triune God. So while, yes, there is a one-on-one element to our relationship with God, it cannot be without this. It cannot be without the practice of worship in the context of community. So that is the second thing that the elder of 1 John is reminding us of. You were made in love. You are made for each other in community. Third, he reminds them that they are members of a royal family. Three times in these seven verses, the writer refers to the recipients as technon. This word means child, but it's a figurative term, which is also a term of endearment, and it is an identity. Contextually, this word serves as a reminder. It's as if the writer of 1 John is saying, child, you, yes, you, remember that you are just that, a dependent. Dependent on God. Also, child, you've been adopted. You're wanted. You belong here. You belong with us. Remember who you are. Stay the course. Don't wander away. Don't be convinced otherwise. You are a child of God. You are an heir. You are a member of the royal family, the most important royal family that there ever could be. The moment that we start recognizing or perceiving that Jesus is the Son of God, we became children of God. The moment we start acknowledging that's the Son of God, that's the Messiah, we're adopted in. You belong. You're a member of this family. And the closer that we walk with Jesus, the easier Jesus is to recognize. So we step closer, and we step closer, and we see clearer and clearer and clearer. It's like when you're getting your eyes checked in I have terrible eyes, so I usually, when I don't have anything on, I can't see anything. The closer you get, the more obvious that E and then the rest of the really small letters become. Similarly with Jesus, we remember that we're heirs to this throne, this family of God. When we walk closer and closer and closer with Jesus, we see more clearly. Finally, the last four verses of this passage remind the listener of the life that they were created for. But really, it's through the lens of the life that they were not created for. Did you catch how many times sin is brought up again? This is really challenging me. This last week there was a lot of sin. This week there's a lot of sin. So we are going to address this topic of sin. There is a lot of contrasting language in 1 John all the way throughout. There's light, dark, truth, deceit, righteousness, sin. All of these comparisons are there to help the early church decipher what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's this, but not that. It's here, but not there. Walk this way, but not that way. The last four verses of this passage are homing in on sin because that's not the way to go. That doesn't look like Jesus. Sin is what happens when we forget who we are. Sin is what happens when we forget who we are. When we start wandering away from the light, the only one who can show us the right way to live, the right way to walk. Sin is what happens when we can no longer see clearly. So we start poking around in the wrong places, the wrong direction. We start going this way when we really need to just stay laser focused this way. If you've ever tried to hike or drive on a familiar road when it's dark, you know what this is like. It's really easy in the light when you're driving home. But when it's dark, it's like, did I miss my turn? Was I supposed to, or in a hike? Was it that rock or was it that boulder? But when it's dark, it's almost impossible to find our way. So we stay in the light. It's not this way. Don't go this way. Remember the markers. So 1 John is giving us the markers. Sin is forgetting who we are. It's wandering away. It's not staying close to Jesus because Jesus doesn't have any, zero bandwidth for sin or darkness. 1 John is a list of those trail markers, signposts, reminders of who we are so we don't get lost. So who are we? First and foremost, we are loved. Second, we are made for community. We are members of the family of God. And if we don't stay close to Jesus, we'll fall away and we will sin, so we stay close to Jesus. We are not called to lives of sin. We are called to lives staying very closely connected to Jesus. Sins become really taboo in the modern church. We like to say, you do you, do it the way that you feel most comfortable. But sin is really rooted in just forgetting. Sin is a life of settling. Stay close to Jesus and we don't settle. Sin is our misdirected attempts to grasp at the deep and fulfilling life that can only be found in Jesus. So when we're trying to grasp that, I really want deep and fulfilling life, anything but Jesus is sin. It's wandering. C.S. Lewis put this really well in his book. I know I read you something from C.S. Lewis last week, but this is a shorter one. The weight of glory is the place where this quote comes from, and he talks about this sense that whenever we try to seek that deep and meaningful life outside of Christ, whenever we try and go this way or we get lost on the mountain road and we go this way, and we don't stay the course, this is what happens. He says, if we consider, and I have a slide for it, there we go, so if you're a visual learner, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward, and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospel, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. So sin is when we just are convinced that there must be a better way. There must be a better way than walking with Jesus. So 1 John continues to remind us, remember who you are. Remember where that deep, lasting life comes from. And go in that direction. Run in that direction. You are loved. You are meant to do this thing together. You are made to walk with Jesus. So let us, church, remember who we are and go live like the royal heir that we are. Let's pray together. God, it is hard sometimes to remember who we are, to remember that you are the one who from the very beginning of time loved us into being. And community is really hard sometimes. It's really hard to do life with others, but you've designed us in your image. And so help us to run to this community when we want to run the other direction. God, it's really, really easy to convince ourselves that life would be so much better if we could do A, B, and C. Help us to fix our eyes very firmly on you. We are rooted and established in your love. And we trust and walk with you so we can live according to the call that you've placed on us. We are heirs, adopted, loved children of the King. I'm going to lead us into various moments of prayer. So we'll have an opportunity to pray for those who are on our hearts right now. We'll have an opportunity to pray for the world. And so I'll allow for some silence and feel free aloud to name a name or a location, or and I'll prompt you along the way, but we'll pray together with that prompting. So let's pray together. Maker, Redeemer, and Friend, you are the source of the Easter power and hope that we celebrate today. You've walked with your people through so many generations. There have been a lot of challenges and uncertainties, people seeking your purpose and your promise. Those who are still facing challenges and uncertainty, God, we want to offer those who are on our hearts and in our minds up to you. We want to name those who are in the midst of challenging times, in the midst of uncertainty, those who are struggling. So, Lord, hear our prayers. Think of the children in our lives, the students in our lives, the young people who are facing the future in really uncertain times. So we now lift up the names of the children and young people, youth, who need your hope, who need your guidance, who need your wisdom and your discernment. So Lord, hear the names of those who are on our hearts. offer the names of those who, for whom age or experience or illness or disability create barriers to full participation in the world. We pray that you will surround each one in pain and despair with your comfort. And renew each one with a sense of dignity and purpose. So hear the names of those who you love and you want opportunity. Communities that are challenged by forces beyond their control, natural disaster, environmental threats, conflict, violence, economic hardship. We pray for courage for those who are facing those challenges. We pray for wisdom for those who are leading through those challenges. We pray for your well-being to be restored. Hear our prayers, Lord. Places, people who are facing hardships beyond their control. On this gorgeous day, as the signs of spring emerge, we pray for your creation. The creatures that have lost their habitats, and the unique species that are at risk, for oceans that are clogged with plastic, for the earth that is aching, for the climate as it warms. You are the firstborn of all creation. Help us to honor you by caring for the earth and its fragile balances. Help us to prioritize care for your earth. Lord, hear our prayers as we offer up specific concerns about your earth. One another, to support one another, to pray for one another, to intercede when some of us don't have the strength to pray for ourselves. So we are so grateful that this is a rhythm that we have in our worship, that we pray for your world, for those who are heavy-hearted, for those who are going through turmoil. And Lord, for those that we haven't named, for the needs that we just can't articulate, for the things that we don't know how to pray, we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Saying, Father, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our purpose. Lead us not into temptation.